But brethren, something very important happened last night, right here in Youngstown. It happened, as a matter of fact, at about 5:11 p.m. Of course, what happened here happened all over the world at different times. And it happens every day. Some days, we can see it happen. Some days, we can't. Unfortunately for us here in this part of the world, it seems like most days we can't. Most days, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, do we? Some months ago, we had occasion to be up in Canada, and we were looking over Lake Huron when it happened. And it was a beautiful situation. We were there with a couple of other families when it happened. And one of the couples had a young child, a young daughter, and they made kind of a big deal of it when it happened. That when they did that, it made me ponder and kind of think about and contemplate, do I take it seriously enough when it happens? Of course, most of you by now have probably figured out what we're talking about. We're talking about sunset. Talking about sunset. We pay attention to sunset, don't we? We do. Most people in the world don't pay a whole lot of attention to when the sun sets. We do at least 2 times or 2 days a week, don't we? We pay attention to when the sun sets. Again, most people don't have a clue because it doesn't really matter to them. One day is like the next. Today, for most people, is like tomorrow or yesterday. It's nothing special. It's like tomorrow or yesterday. Now, maybe yesterday they had to go to work in the morning or go to school in the morning. But it's just another day. Another Saturday. You know, in the falls, an afternoon of football or whatever the case may be. But we pay attention. It means something to us every week. It means something to us 8 other times in a year as well. Question is, how meaningful was sunset to you last evening? How meaningful was it to you? Do we have any habits or traditions when the sun sets on a Friday evening? We have habits or traditions. Do we pay attention? Do we realize the sun is setting? You know, our friends that we were with made a special deal out of it, a little more than perhaps I have at times. And I thought they set a nice example. Oftentimes they said they have a special occasion with their children, and they maybe have a toast or a drink or whatever, just to kind of, you know, honor that time. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. The sunset for us means something, doesn't it? And the sun sets at least twice a week. Of course, last evening would have been one of those times. This evening would be another time when the sun sets and ends this special day for us. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. Mr. Myers went over this in some detail here not that long ago for us, but thought we'd read it as a refresher. And you know, when Mr. Myers and I briefly discussed the fact that I was going to be giving a message on the subject. You know, I talked to him about it, and he said, you know, we all need these meals. We all need this spiritual food to eat at different times in different ways. You know, I can come to your house for chicken, and you can come to our house for chicken, and we have to have chicken regularly or food regularly, don't we? We couldn't, you know, wait. If I invited you to our house for dinner, you couldn't necessarily wait to eat another meal till I invited you again, because it might not be for a year. So we regularly need meals. We regularly need this food. Verse 5 says, God called the day, the light rather, day. And the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So we see here that the day begins at evening. Verse 8, God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So we see, and we can see on through a variety of verses, we can see in verse 13 describing the third day, verse 19 describing the fourth day, verse 23 the fifth day, verse 31 is the sixth day. Verse 31 says, and God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see the establishment of a day. It's a 24-hour period, consists of the evening through the night and the morning through the day. We see that day 2 in verse 13, and again a variety of other days that we saw, days 1 through 6. We see that's when the day begins. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, then we see this special day. Verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has done. So God rested on the seventh day. Now, of course, God, as we know, didn't need to rest. He doesn't need rest. We need rest, don't we? You and I, we need rest. But God created something special, very special, on the seventh day, as we see here, the origin of the seventh day. And God blessed the seventh day, verse 3, and he sanctified it, set it apart, because on it, in it rather, he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So here we see the origin of the Sabbath day. When God originated the origin of the Sabbath day. And it doesn't start at midnight. It didn't start at midnight last night when November the, what is the date, the 9th? The ninth today, it is the ninth. I should know that because Kristen was born on this day. Also, another very important event. In 1964, I broke my arm on November the 9th. So most of you have probably seen that arm at times. I try not to put it up here so that you can see what I did. But Kristen always claimed that, you know, she fell as a young child a few times and hurt herself, and she always claimed that it was that I jinxed her in that way because she was born on the day that, on the anniversary of that date. So, but it's November the 9th. Anyway, I don't know why I even said that. But, you know, the day, I guess I said the day didn't, November the 9th on our calendar started at midnight last night. But that's not when God's day begins, and that's why we begin, you know, a sunset becomes very important to us. So how important is this day to us? How important is this day to us? Do we give it proper priority, honor, reverence, respect that it deserves? Or is it sometimes just another day. Yes, we may get up. It may not be a normal work day for us. We go to church. It's not normal in that standpoint. But sometimes just getting up and going to church is not all that this day is about, that the Sabbath day is about. How important is it to us? Ezekiel chapter 20, back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, we can read here a little bit in Ezekiel about how important the day was and is to God. Ezekiel chapter 20, Ezekiel here talking to Israel. Sometimes if we read through the events of Israel, we can see why God would get a little upset, because they, you know, he would get them on the straight and narrow a little bit, and then as soon as, you know, they had the wrong leadership oftentimes, they would get off the beaten path. That's a lesson for us as well, that sometimes we can get off the beaten path very easily and very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 11. Verse 10 says, "Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness." So he's talking specifically here about Israel. Verse 11 says, "I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them." You know, it's an important point there that, you know, we it's not just an intellectual thing. Mr. Franks in the letter was talking about the commitment that we need to make. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's not just that we understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath day. But it's more than that. That it's, you know, as we shall, you know, if a man does, he shall live by it. Today that we shall live by this way of life. Again, as Mr. Franks was mentioning, moreover, verse 12 says, "I gave them my Sabbaths," plural, "I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me, between them and me." The Sabbath is a sign between us. You can read more about that in Exodus 31. But it's a sign between us. "That they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them," or it is God who sets it apart. It is God who sets this day apart. Verse 13, "Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them." We're to live by these things. This is a way of life for us. "And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness and consume them." So they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. We don't want to defile. Other translations say that use words like desecrated or profaned. We don't want to profane God's Sabbath. We want to be careful that it is not just another day that we have. It's not just another day like any other day, except that, yeah, maybe we get up and go to church, and then we go home and we do our own thing, so to speak. We do our own thing. So it's not just another day, is it? God's Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, is not just another day. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll see here that this is a section, passage of Scripture, a section of Scripture that is often misunderstood by many. often used to proclaim that there's a future rest, but there is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "For he had spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And the word "rested" there is the word katapauo in the Greek. And it means a causing to cease, according to Vine's dictionary, or putting to rest. That God rested, as we would think of rest, on the seventh day. Causing to cease, that we cease from our work and we rest on that day. Verse 6 says, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." Verse 8, "For if Joshua," these verses here making the point that there is a future rest Christians can have with God. Verse 8 says, "For if Joshua had given them rest," go back to the book of Joshua and read about that. "If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." Verse 9, that again, that word "rest" there in Joshua 8 is that same katapauo, meaning to cease or to rest, or putting to rest, to cease or to rest. Verse 9 says, "There remains a rest for the people of God." Now, verse 9, though, that word "rest" is a different Greek word. That word "rest" in verse 9 is the word sabbatismos, spelled S-A-B-B-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. S-A-B-B-A-T-I-S-M-O-S in the Greek. It's the only place that it's found in the New, that word is found in the New Testament. And it means that there is a Sabbath keeping, or a keeping of the Sabbath. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. The Good News Bible says, there still remains for God's people a rest like God's resting on the seventh day. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath. How do we keep it? How do we keep the Sabbath? How important is that to us? How do we keep it? We describe ourselves as Sabbath keepers, don't we? We're Sabbath keepers. Now, sometimes, you know, in the context of conversations, people may say something like, "Oh, you keep your Sunday on Saturday." You ever hear that, or hear that expressed, perhaps? But that's not really true, is it? We don't keep our Sunday on Saturday. We are Sabbath keepers. We keep the Sabbath. So for the remainder of the time today, let's consider some principles of Sabbath keeping. This is a review. This is not anything new for us, but it's just something that from time to time we need to be renewed by, or give some thought to, or you know, encouraged to examine a little bit. Let's look at some and consider some principles of Sabbath keeping. Now, this is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not what we're going to talk about, but just some principles. Let's look first of all at four basic things about the Sabbath, and understand just four basic principles, or four basic things that we'll look at first of all. Number one, Exodus chapter 20. Four basic things that we need to consider. Exodus chapter 20. Excuse me, and we'll look at the Sabbath command in Exodus. Verse 8 says, "Remember remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. But it is something that we remember, that we bring to mind, that we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor from all your work. So labor rather and do all your work. So in this, our work is to be done in the 6 days. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here we see the first principle or point to consider is that, or the command tells us not to work. Command tells us not to work. That's interesting. In Leviticus 23, we go through the holy days, we'll turn there in a moment, but in Leviticus 23, it says no customary or occupational work is to be done. No one, as we read there in verse 10, no one in your household, no one under your authority is to work. That's why we close our businesses and we do those things on the Sabbath day, because no one under our authority is to work. Now, of course, those people that work for us, they don't keep the Sabbath, and what they do on the Sabbath we have no authority over, but we certainly do have authority over, you know, whether or not they work for us. And so there's no customary work, and those in our household or under our authority are to work. So the command is not to work. Point number two, Exodus chapter 31 and verse 5. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 15. Exodus 31 and verse 15 says, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So again, a very important day to God, but the point here is the Sabbath is a day of rest. So we're not to work, but we're to rest. You know, we read that God rested on the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. We slow it down and rest. So we don't, you know, get up in the morning and go to the gym and work out. Or we don't run to the mall. Or we don't, and you can fill in whatever blank you want there. We don't do those things. We don't do those things, do we? No, we rest. Again, with an eye of worshiping, or toward worshiping God. We rest with an eye toward worshiping God. It's holy, it says, verse 15 says, it's holy to the Lord. We rest and we worship God, don't we? Point number three, Leviticus chapter 23. Point number three, four basic things to consider. Point number three, we'll go to Leviticus 23 and verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, Leviticus 23 and verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the eternal. These are God's feasts, not Moses' feasts as often is quoted. The feasts of the eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, they are my feasts. And the first one here is listed in verse 3. It says, 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. The seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. So again, we see that we're not to work, and it is a rest day. And then it adds an additional instruction here. It says a holy convocation. A holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. So it's a holy convocation. This day is. So that's the third point. You know, we're not to work, we're to rest, and it is to be a holy convocation. This is an area that we need to consider, don't we? An area we need to consider. There are certainly reasons that we can't be here, legitimate reasons. Next week, Beth and I won't be here because we'll be out of town. Now, we'll be at services somewhere. But we need to consider that. There are sometimes elderly people, there are illnesses of ourselves or family. Sometimes we get snowed out. There are a couple, usually about once, sometimes twice a year, we get snowed out and can't come here. But it is part of the Sabbath command, isn't it? It's part of the Sabbath command to have a holy convocation. It means a public worship service. We're commanded when and if at all possible. And there are times, certainly legitimate times, when we can't. But we're commanded, if possible and when possible, to be here, that it is a commanded assembly or a holy convocation. And it is part of the Sabbath command here, that it is a holy convocation. You know, a public worship service or a public meeting. So we're not to work. We are to rest. We're to have a holy convocation. Point number four, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." It's a very encouraging scripture. But we're to hold fast. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Fourth point is that we learn from one another. We learn from one another, as well as from the sermonette and the sermon. Verse 25, of course, says, "not forsaking again the assembling of ourselves together." So we come here to learn, and we learn from one another. It's a learning day for us, isn't it? The Sabbath is a learning day. That we learn from the sermonette and the sermons, yes, but we learn from one another, and we encourage and exhort one another and help one another. You know, do we want to be where God's people are? Ask ourselves that question. We want to be where God's people are. So we see these basic things, these basic elements, we call them elements, about the Sabbath is that we're not, you know, we're to keep the Sabbath. You know, we're Sabbath-keeping people. You know, there remains the keeping of the Sabbath. And we keep the Sabbath by not working, by resting, by assembling, and by learning. Those are four basic elements that we need to always consider. That we keep the Sabbath by not working, by resting, by assembling, and by learning. Let's consider some additional principles today. We'll consider some additional principles in addition to those basic things that we all know. And again, this is a rehearsal or a renewal a little bit, just to kind of encourage us to consider, our Sabbath keeping. Let's consider some additional principles. You know, we're commanded not just to observe the Sabbath or keep the Sabbath, but we read the scripture there in Exodus 20, but to remember it, to remember it. So we should be mindful of it throughout the week, not just, you know, on Friday night, but throughout the week, so that we can be prepared for it. We can be prepared. We need to prepare for the Sabbath day. In our culture, we tend to kind of crash into the day. We ever find ourselves that happening to us? I know I do. We kind of crash into the day. Especially, you know, this time of year, now when the Sabbath ends, or Sabbath rather begins, last night it was 5:11. In another couple of weeks, it's even a little bit before 5 o'clock. And, you know, our office typically operates till 5. I have to send people home a little bit early. Now, they don't usually argue with me about that. But I have to make sure that I get out in time, because, and I respect the Sabbath day properly. Because in our culture, like I say, sometimes we kind of crash into the day. You know, the lawn needs mowed and we're trying to get the lawn finished before the Sabbath. Or right now I got leaves to rake. Now, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know which it is, but it gets dark before I get home, so I don't have to worry about it. And so when I leave, it's dark, and when I come home, it's dark, so I only see them on the Sabbath. But no, I'm just kidding. But sometimes we have to clean the house, we have to do all that, we kind of crash into the day. But God really shows that there's a preparation that takes place for the day. And God shows that example in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, it's a day that we are to remember. And we remember it not just, you know, on Friday evening at 5 o'clock when the sun sets at 5:11. But we remember it and we prepare for it. Exodus chapter 16 shows us that example that God used here with the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, we read that, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Now, why is that? This shows here a preparation for the Sabbath day. Verse 19, drop down to verse 19, and said, "Moses said, Let no one leave any until morning, notwithstanding they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it till morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them." So they were to gather for what they needed for the day. And if it was there until morning, of course, and we know the story, then as it says here, it had worms in it, it stank. So that was their daily routine, to gather the manna. But if we drop down here to verse 22... says, "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came to Moses and told Moses." Verse 23, "Then he said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you need today and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." And so Moses, and so they laid up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. So when they kept the extra, of course, for the Sabbath, it didn't have the same reaction. And of course, this is a miracle. Of course, the bread itself was a miracle. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none." Now, of course, you know, it happened, verse 27, that some people went out on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. So this shows an example here that there's a principle of preparation for the Sabbath. We're to remember the Sabbath, not just, again, on Friday evening, but throughout the week, and prepare for it, to prepare for the Sabbath day. You know, we prepare for it, don't we? It doesn't mean, you know, we can't do some light cooking or heating up. We do that. We do some light cooking or heating up, and some of us may go out to eat. And there's an excellent article on Life, Hope, and Truth about that, about eating out on the Sabbath, or maybe it's on the members' website. I guess it's a study paper on the members' website. An excellent article about that. But we're to prepare. There's a preparation time. We're to prepare. It's a day that we're to remember and look forward to it. Exodus chapter 16, I'm sorry, chapter 12 and verse 16, back a couple of chapters here, we see an interesting principle as well. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 16 says, this is here specifically talking about the event of the first day of unleavened bread. Because it says, "On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done in them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you." So that's an interesting thought process there, that we can prepare things. Again, we try to prepare things ahead of time, don't we? We try and know that, you know, Beth makes soups and chilies and things, or oftentimes on Sunday she'll prepare a pot of soup that we'll have throughout the week or for several days, or different things that she prepares that we have throughout for several days. Now, the point there is that she wouldn't do that on the Sabbath. In other words, she wouldn't go prepare a big pot of soup so that we would have it for the rest of the week. So we would have that soup. A lot of times we have those meals and things. So that what can be prepared ahead of time, we try to prepare ahead of time. We try to make sure that our cars are full of gas. I know I may have mentioned this before. Some time ago, years ago, I was asked one time from someone who had quite a little ways to drive. And at the time, gas was cheaper in the Austintown area where we were meeting. And so this one gentleman one time asked me, "Well, since gas is, you know, 15, 20 cents cheaper here in Austintown, would it be okay if I, when we came here on the Sabbath, if I filled up my car with gas?" And, of course, I suggested to him that, you know, it really is kind of outside the principle of what God is teaching us, that, you know, there's a preparation for that. Now, sometimes, you know, we get caught short. I have. Happened to me not that long ago, where I had gas in my vehicle, but I ended up, for a couple of reasons, to drive a little bit more on that Sabbath than I had anticipated I would, and I needed to get gas. But what I've typically done when I have to get gas on the Sabbath is I try not to go fill up my tank. I try to just get what I need to get through the Sabbath day. So the principle there is that we need to prepare for that, don't we? We need to prepare for that. We need to prepare, try and make sure we have gas in the vehicle. And again, sometimes we don't, or sometimes, you know, we neglect that, or I have as well, and forgotten. But we try to make sure our clothes are cleaned and ironed, so that those things are prepared. So as much as possible, we limit things we do on the Sabbath day with regard to work and preparation, because God shows clearly that there is a preparation there, that, you know, in shows us that principle and that example in Leviticus chapter 16, that there's a Sabbath preparation, and in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we're told to remember the Sabbath day, to remember it, not to forget it, and to prepare for it. So the principle of preparation is an important part of Sabbath observance. Let's turn now to Leviticus chapter 19. see another principle. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 30. Leviticus 19 and verse 30 says, you shall keep, the margin there says observe, or to keep or observe my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. So we're to keep God's Sabbath, and we're to reverence, as it says, His sanctuary. So that's what we do. We keep God's Sabbath. We reverence God. That's why we come to God's Sabbath day services. We try to be dressed in our best. That's why we emphasize that sometimes, because we're coming here before God. This is God's holy convocation right here in the Youngstown area. This is where God has placed His name. This is His holy convocation. God is here with us in spirit. And so we try to have things as nice here as we practically can. That's why oftentimes we have flowers, and we have the nice tablecloth. We try to upgrade, because it's God's sanctuary. It's where God has placed His name. And we're to be respectful of that, and to have it as nicely as we can. And so we come here before God today, and we're dressed in our best, aren't we? We're dressed as best as we can. You know, it's in what's appropriate as we come before God. As we come here before God, verse 30 says, we're to reverence, respect the fact that God has placed His name here, and it's His holy convocation. So we need to observe God's Sabbath day in that way, and recognize that it is, you know, His sanctuary. It's where God places His name. And we come before Him in our very best, and we try to keep things as nicely as we can here, and have it properly as we come before God, and reverence Him and respect Him in that way. Isaiah chapter 58. We see a list of things. It's an interesting scripture, and really the only one of its kind in the Bible, in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, we see some other principles that we'll go over and talk about and go through here. Isaiah 58, and we'll begin reading in verse 13 and see what we can learn here. Isaiah 58 says, in verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. This is where I often took my kids when we talked about the Sabbath day and about things and about keeping the Sabbath. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him. Shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then, verse 14, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So what can we learn from this, from these two verses? More specifically, verse 13, basically seven things that are listed here that we can learn from. Again, it's not a list of do's and don'ts, but a list of principles. Number one, verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, turn away your foot. Don't trample on God's Sabbath. Do we sometimes trample on God's Sabbath day? On God's Sabbath? Don't trample on the Sabbath. Don't let it just be another day. You know, as we talked earlier, don't take it lightly. Recognize, you know, when the sun set last night, that it's a holy day. that God has sanctified this day, set it apart for us, for a special time. It's a special day. So don't trample on it. Don't just take it lightly. Number two, doing your own pleasure. This is emphasized because it's mentioned several times. Doing your own pleasure. So if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath day from doing your own pleasure, just doing what you want to do. Like most people do. They don't want to keep the Sabbath day because it interferes with their lives. Most people think that it would interfere with their lives to keep and observe God's Sabbath day. So we have to consider that we're not to do our own pleasure, not just to do what we please or as we please, but that we're keeping this day holy, set aside. Number three, call the Sabbath a delight. Call the Sabbath a delight. It is a delightful day. One of the things that makes it very delightful is that we get to be here with one another. We get to encourage each other. We get to talk to one another, tease one another, laugh with one another. God's people laugh a lot. I always say that. We laugh a lot because we have a good time with one another. We enjoy one another. You know, it's a delight. And certainly this is one of the things that helps to make it a delight. But we need to really recognize the wonderful opportunity we have to keep, to observe God's holy Sabbath day. We don't have to keep this day, brethren. We get to keep this day. We get to keep God's holy Sabbath day, and it really and truly is a delight. Number four, it is holy. It is the holy day of the Lord. It's a day that He, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, and we read in Exodus and several scriptures that we went through, it is a holy day. It's a day that He sanctified, that He set apart for a special purpose. So it is a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him. So we're to pay attention to God, aren't we? It is God's Sabbath day, and we're to pay attention to Him. We're to worship Him, and in our studies, we set time aside on the Sabbath day to study a little bit more, to rest. I enjoy myself, going out on a Sabbath afternoon and taking a nap. I don't know, the older I get, the more I enjoy that, I guess. But I enjoy taking a little, when we get home, a lot of times we'll take a little nap. And it's very enjoyable on a Sabbath afternoon to do that and to read. And then get up and maybe to read, do some additional reading, some additional prayer time as we're resting and as we're worshiping God on God's Sabbath day. Number five, not doing your own ways. Not doing your own ways. We don't just, again, do our normal daily activity, do what we want to do. You know, a few months ago, I have a cousin that's a big Ohio State Buckeye fan, and we had a reunion a few years ago, and I've been a little bit of a fan myself, and we were talking, and I told him I had never been to a Buckeye game, and he thought that was just an awful thing. So a few months ago, he calls and he says, "Hey, I've got tickets to," and I forget what game it was. And so we had to tell him, "Well, we don't go to a football game. It's the Sabbath, and it's our Sabbath. We keep a Sabbath, and we don't go to a football game, on a Sabbath afternoon. Now they play at night too, but he's never offered me one of those tickets. But we don't, because that would be doing our own way, isn't it? Just to do what we want to do, that's doing our own way. And clearly here in Isaiah it says that not doing your own ways. We don't do our own ways. We don't do what we normally would do on God's Sabbath day. Point number six there is, nor finding your own pleasure. So again, that's a dual It's covered twice here, because it's covered at the beginning of the verse there. It says, from doing your own pleasure, and it says, nor finding your own pleasure. Just finding what we want to do for fun on the Sabbath day. Yeah, we don't work, but we go to church, but then we just find our own pleasure. Number seven says, nor speaking your own words. So even our words should be different, you know, rising above the trivial. Now, yeah, we come here, we tease one another, and doesn't mean we can't, tease one another about a score of a game or events that go on in our lives. But that's not, we don't come here like we would, like our friends would go to a sports bar on a Sabbath afternoon and talk about whatever. We make sure that we choose our words, that we rise above just the trivial. And oftentimes, when we listen to the tables and the discussions, you know, it's oftentimes we talk about the Sabbath or other events or things that go on that would be more honorable to God in that way. And then if we do that, if we keep God's Sabbath appropriately, verse 14 says, God promises to bless us when we keep His Sabbath holy. He says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. God will bless us if we keep His Sabbath day appropriately, if we honor and respect Him appropriately on His Sabbath day. Brethren, God is watching. God is watching. God watches us. And every week, and seven times annually, He gives us a test. 1 Peter chapter 4, a couple more scriptures we'll cover here real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 17, Peter kind of gives us a little bit of a warning here. Verse 17 says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. God is evaluating. God is watching what we do. Time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So we're being watched. We're being evaluated. Exodus chapter 16, we read that verse earlier, but we'll read it again in the context of the fact that God is watching, that God is testing, that the Sabbath really is a test commandment. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4 says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. You know, each Sabbath we have an opportunity to be tested, whether we will walk in God's way or not. God tests us. Verse 30 says, and so the people rested on the seventh day. And so do we, don't we? God tests us every week. This is kind of a test for us, how we're going to do. We've learned from these principles today and seen these principles in the pages of our Bible. So it says, verse 30, the people rested on the seventh day, and so do we. Brethren, we know that there remains a keeping of the Sabbath, an observing of the Sabbath. Let's take time to evaluate our Sabbath keeping. Our traditions. What traditions do we have with our families? That we establish family traditions, and that we evaluate our observance, our keeping, our reverence, our respect for sunset Friday evening to sunset tonight, Saturday evening. Let's evaluate our Sabbath keeping. We keep God's Sabbath holy. We prepare for it. We reverence His sanctuary. We honor our great God by properly keeping His Sabbath and calling His Sabbath a delight.